Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. She was blind from birth, and we don't sing all 8,000 of her hymns, but our hymn book is filled with many of the songs that she wrote. When she was 8 years old, she wrote this poem. "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." She wrote that as an 8-year-old girl, blind. And she wrote a lot of hymns in our songbook. Thanksgiving is a tradition that's as old as America. In 1621, after a terrible year in which half of their number died of starvation or disease, the pilgrims set aside 3 days in December to praise the Lord for a bountiful corn harvest. The original Thanksgiving was in December. Many years later, over 150 years later, President George Washington, as soon as we won the war with Britain, President George Washington proclaimed November 26th as a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Then in 1863, in the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln revived this old tradition of rendering thanks unto the Lord. And finally, in 1941, the United States Congress decreed that the fourth Thursday in November was to be a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. So it has not been a national holiday per se for hundreds of years. That's been in the last century. However, that's a small history of thanksgiving. I think to us as Christians, Thursday should not be Turkey Day. We're going to eat turkey, but it shouldn't be Turkey Day. If you're saved, and if you're a child of God, and if you're a Christian, it ought to mean more to you than that. It's a Christian holiday. No other nation has a holiday like it, a holiday that is designed to thank God for His goodness through the year. For many, Thursday is merely a day when family gets together, eats an enormous meal, watches football on TV. Most important of all, it's a day when they don't have to work. And I hope that it means more to us than that. I'm glad you get a couple days off. We're gonna enjoy family, but I hope it's more important to you than that. In truth, we must never be guilty of allowing our thanks to wait until Thanksgiving to be expressed. I hope you've told the Lord thank you more times than this coming Thursday. Amen. Something that we ought to be doing year-round, but we'll put an extra emphasis on it this Thursday. Could you take your Bible? I'd like you to look at one thing here, actually several things, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in your New Testament. I'll refer back to Psalm 107 here in just a second, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to give you several things about Thanksgiving this morning, and I have a method in my madness. Tonight, in the evening message, I don't usually use PowerPoint, but I did a lot of research and study about the pilgrims and their trip over here, and I'm going to use the screen tonight, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's very moving to me, and that'll be tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, God says here, very, very important, "In everything give thanks." Now, I love this next statement, "For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." So let me get this straight. The Word of God teaches me that it's God's will that I be thankful. I'm supposed to look for being thankful isn't natural. I naturally complain. I naturally criticize. I'm naturally negative. But I can look at the Word of God, and God teaches me as a Christian, I am supposed to find things that God's done in my life and thank Him for it. That is God's, I love that statement, that is God's will for my life. That is the will of God. And God plainly teaches that. Be careful about a critical spirit. Be careful about a negative spirit. Yet I'm concerned, and I hope that verse means a lot to you this morning, but I'm afraid that we're a very ungrateful people. Children are ungrateful to their parents. People are ungrateful to one another. And worst of all, people are ungrateful to God. Never before, only children killing their parents is only about 40 years old. That never happened. Well, it's always been that way. It's not always been that way. How does a child kill their parents? How did that one child 15 years ago kill his grandparents? Shot them with a 22 in the house. What in the world? How demonic can that be? There was nothing but, growing up, there was nothing but respect for my grandparents, my legacy. Now, I might have a pleasant family reunion, but at our family reunion, there's no cussing. It's pleasant to be around. They're wonderful, farming, hardworking, God-fearing people. And I don't mind our family reunions. I just don't get to go to them very much because they're so far away. But I've always been taught, you revere your grandparents. Then your parents, they gave you everything you have. The clothes you have on your, I want these shoes. You mean your parents are going to buy them for you. You didn't get nothing. And when you couldn't do nothing for yourself, your parents were doing it for you. Amen? There should be a gratitude there, but we're living in a generation that where thankfulness and gratitude seem to be less and less. In 2 Timothy, just listen closely, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be, ready? It's going to give a list here, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's a trait. As we get closer to Jesus coming, as we get closer to His coming, people are going to be more disobedient to their parents and more unthankful. That's as we get closer to Jesus coming. Things are going to get worse before they get better. When confronted with a billboard or a bumper sticker, or a radio announcement that says, God loves you. It means so little to this generation because their first response is, of course God loves me. That's because I'm so lovable. I'm such a wonderful person. Yeah, God loves me. They have no idea how unworthy they are of His love. They really think they deserve it. Of course, to know me is to love me. That's their motto. They actually think that, and it's an egotistical, narcissistic society. They don't realize how unworthy they are because they don't realize how holy God is. They actually think God's common like themselves. How they see God is not, I don't think, scriptural. What's the opposite of thankfulness? Are you ready? Why wouldn't someone be thankful? Because they deserve it. They expect it. How come at Christmas time there's going to be gifts given and some children are going to say, this isn't what I asked for. Is it gift wrapped? That means somebody took the time to cut it out and, and wrap it. What do you mean this isn't what you asked for? Well, I expected something. Can you be thankful for what you got? I expect it. This is what I want. I deserve this. I've showed you this before. If you'll take your Bible now and please go to Romans chapter 1. I just want to, because being thankful is not natural. I am naturally selfish, I'm naturally critical, I'm naturally negative. Because being thankful is not natural. I'm going to use a little bit of negative and then we're going to go into the positive this morning here. But I want to give you some reasons to thank God this week. And hopefully, as far as the focus of our week, praise the Lord for the holiday. I love it. But Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 18 and verse 21 is where we'll stop. For verse number 18, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the, listen closely, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. From verse 21 till the end of the chapter is probably one of the strongest chapters in the Bible about the digression and the sin nature of man. If man is left to himself, what does he become? Well, the first thing he gets involved is idolatry. The next thing he gets involved in is immorality. And where does immorality lead to? Homosexuality. And where does it end? Bestiality and then cannibalism. That's the downward trek. It all starts with verse 21. Can we read it one more time? Are you ready? Watch this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. This morning, thankfulness is not natural to me. But what could motivate me to think about what God's done for me and focus on what God's done for me? Because if I become unthankful, I start down that step. That I don't want to end up at the end of it. Sometimes I have to say, Greg Nash, you praise God, you thank God, you glorify God. There it says here, when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him. You know what the word glorify means? It means to get your whole body involved. You know what's sad? I haven't seen a fanatical Christian. But if you go to a basketball game or a football game or any type of sport, and you stand up and cheer for your team, you're not considered a radical. You know what I mean? Or an extremist. But you do that in church, amen. But yet they'll go to a basketball game or a volleyball game or a football game. Go! Yeah! Run! Yeah! Then you we got it! Oh! Have you watched them? If you dress up for church, you're not an extremist. But have you watched them go to the football games? Half purple and green and blue and... I mean, they put a whole lot of money into that. Here God says this, I hope you get excited about Me as you do other things. Because when they knew Him, they would not glorify Him. I'm not going to take it too far. I'm not going to be an extremist. I don't want to be a fanatic. You know what the word fanatic comes from? The word fan. Right? That means they're a fan of that football team, a fan of that basketball team. That just means that they took it as far as, wow, I want them to know that I'm for them. Christian, be careful. Be careful. I think God should get some of your energy. I think God, I have a place I like to go into the trees and pray, and I don't do it in church, and I don't lift my hands to the Lord in church, but I do it in private. You know why? Because God should get some of my energy. I should glorify Him. I have no problem falling on my face and praying to my God. I have no problem giving energy. That's why when we sing, we're glorifying Him. Amazing grace. Instead of amazing grace. How come you don't sing?
Well, I don't, you know, that's you know, come on now. I don't want to take this too far.
It's good that you give energy to praising the Lord. That's one way. That's not the only way. That's one way. Christian, be careful. We have to make ourselves do what God tells us to do. None of it comes natural. Here, neither were thankful. You can look at that later, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to just listen this morning. Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Being thankful is when you thank the Lord for what He's done. The word thank means favorable thought or feeling. Now, let me just take you on a small journey here. In your Bible, the word thank means this is where I can have emotion, but most of the time I don't. That's why we teach our kids, what do we say? Thank you. I don't care whether you felt like saying it or not. It better come out of your mouth. Right? I don't care. You say thank you. What are we doing? We're saying you make yourself say thank you. We're teaching them, emotion or not, with no emotion, you be grateful. That's what the word thank means. And turn to His courts with thanksgiving. And then it says, into His presence with thanksgiving. Then it says, enter into His courts with praise. Praise is thanksgiving with emotion. Thanksgiving is this. Thank you. Praise is this. Thank you. That's praise. I put emotion with it. I put emotion with it. We're all supposed to be thankful. But I have learned this. Have you ever noticed the more you start thanking God for what He's done, and the more you make yourself think of how good He's been to you, the more the smile comes, the more the gratefulness rises, and you go from, thank you, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word. Thank you for my church. Thank you, Lord, for my family. And Lord, thank you so much for all that You've given me. And what a God that You'd save someone like me. And God, thank You for sending Your Son. And that's praise. That's praise. And someone said, well, I'm just not an emotional person. Then start with thankfulness. And I promise you, if you'll thank God enough, you can work your way, honestly, to where the gratefulness is there in your heart and you can praise Him. And watch this. I'm not as interested in doing this in church as I am interested in doing this every day. Every day. I don't come to church to put on a show. I don't come to church to show anybody how spiritual I am. This is we're not a museum. You understand? Oh, nice. They have something nice on today. Oh, that's unique hairdo. Oh, wow. We're not supposed to be looking at each other like that and examining. Church is a hospital. Amen? It's where we come to get encouragement and help. It's not where we're putting a show on or displaying. I'll say it again. Thankfulness, thanksgiving happens because you're supposed to do it. Emotion or not. If you'll do it enough, it'll lead to praise. The next strongest word is this. Is glorify. Now, here, I like the word, but let me just read this to you. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." God says, I like hanging around and being around people who are grateful and thankful and praise me. God says, I inhabit those praises. I inhabit those praises. My presence is there. Psalm 50 says this. Now, I'll get ready to wrap it up here. Just listen. Psalm 50 says this. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. And this is God talking. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't tell you. He said, if I were hungry, He said, I wouldn't tell you. Could you go get me some food? God says, I don't work that way. Nor does God get hungry, but you understand the point He's trying to make. He says here, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Listen closely. Psalm 50 verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. God says, I own it all. First, we're supposed to thank God. Then we're supposed to, as emotion gets involved in it, we praise God. And the final statement is glorifying God. What's glorify mean? It means to make God beautiful. To glorify the Lord means I want God to look good. I want the Lord to appear good to others. I want what comes out of my mouth, how I carry myself. I want that to make the Lord look good. That's glorifying Him. Then He looks magnificent. He's a big God. He's a great God. That's glorifying. I like what God says, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. What's the one thing we can do? I showed you this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I know in our church there are several that are dealing with cancer. There are several. I spoke with a wife of yesterday of someone, and their husband's in the hospital with stage 4 lung cancer. Has two twins, 6 years old. Sit up. Two twins, 6 years old. The little boy was, you want to see my Legos? His daddy wasn't there. I said, sure. He's showing me his helicopter. He said, I'm going to build a garage here. And then the helicopter lands here. And I said, you mean a garage like where your dad has? He said, just like that. I said, then you can fix things. This is this little six-year-old boy. I said, does your daddy fix things in his garage? Oh, daddy makes a whole lot of things in his garage. His daddy isn't going to make it. I told the wife, I said, if you need anything, I said, I would love to be a help to you, your family. I said, if you need anything, here's my phone number. Here's our church. You say, what verse do you think of? We looked at this morning when we started, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Listen closely. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When trials happen in my life and I can't thank God for the trial, then God says it's His will, listen closely, that I thank Him in the trial. I may not be able to thank God for the cancer, but I can thank God that He's in control and that He knows what's going on. I can thank Him in the cancer. Do you understand? I don't have to... You say, how do you thank God for a miscarriage? How do you thank God for... I don't have to thank Him for it. And if it is so tragic, I can't thank Him for it. God says, in everything, give thanks. And when it is heartbreaking and the pain is there, God says, you don't have to thank me for it, but thank me in it. What? That I'm in control and I know what's going on. And aren't you glad? God says, I know things you don't. You're in the forest. All you can see is the trees. You say, but I wouldn't do it this way. And I understand. It's tragic and it's heartbreak. And I understand. Okay, I wouldn't do it either. But maybe God sees something I can't see. Then He gets the benefit of the doubt. And Lord, I don't understand it all, but thank You, Lord, that You do. And You said, in everything, give thanks. This morning, I don't know what heartache you're going through or what you're struggling with, and I know there's a lot of heartaches and questions. Can I just encourage a Christian? When you can't thank Him for the pain, thank Him in the pain. That is God's will. And it'll keep you from getting bitter. Keeps my focus right. I'll do that, you know, when I'm sick with the flu. I remember last time, you know, laying in bed, you know, and you got the fever and all that. I didn't thank God for the flu. But I was thanking Him. Lord, it sure is nice having a bed to shiver in. And thank You, Lord, we're not living in a cave right now. And thank You, Lord, that this is going to one day pass. I didn't thank You, Lord, for the flu. I didn't pray stupid prayers, but I did say, You said, it is Your will that I thank You in it. In it. Christian, to encourage you this morning, I wanted to say, thank Him in all things. It's God's will. As an individual, you're to praise and thank the Lord. As a church, we're to praise and thank the Lord. Last Sunday, November 15th, was the one-year anniversary of being voted here in pastor as the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. November 16th, 2014, 19-2. That's the only score I know, okay? it has been my privilege to be your pastor. Someone said, I wish all the people knew what the Lord has done in the past year. And I think some of the people know, but everybody doesn't know everything that's been done. Listen closely. This is what the Lord, as best as I could, if you go look on the billboard back there, this is what the Lord's done in our church this year. We've remodeled the nurseries, and there's now more floor space in the nurseries than there was before. There's now more floor space with both of them. We've rewired the PA system with a new soundboard. We have a new water heater that has eliminated the sulfur smell in the water. We have a new Lord's Supper table. Okay? We've got track racks that helped us gain room in the foyer here. We have a new youth room with a PA that we can use also for junior church. We have a repaired modular that gave us a new space for Sunday school. We have a new heating and air unit for the back of the church that went out last winter. We have a new electric panel for the trailer. We have two new buses that we painted. We have a 2007 15-passenger van. We have a map for our soul. That map that hangs on the wall back there, we wanted to start covering all of Mechanicsville. And I said, we can only do that if we know what roads we've been on and what roads we haven't. 2 weeks ago, a man drove up here in his pickup, and he said, two of your church members were on Baptist Church Road handing out tracts, didn't know their name. He said, I want to come to your church. He said, I'm 74 years old, I'm getting close to dying, and he said, and I need to get in church. And I said, well, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. That map back there was almost, not quite, almost $300. But we did it so we could do what? Keep track of what's going on so we know where we've been. We have repainted the auditorium and the bathrooms. We've turned the old nursery into my office, and then we moved the door that used to be here back there. We have a new website where you can get some of the sermons of the past that I've preached. After all that, after all that we've done, the Lord has let us do. The Lord has allowed us, we are only $6,000 short of where we were at this same time last year when I became the pastor. I don't know if you know what I just said or not. That means what we had in the bank is only $6,000 short of what we had in the bank last year at this time. Yet we've done all of that. To me, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. With my salary and the repairs and the purchases that we've made in the church, we've spent over $150,000. We're a church that runs between 90 and 100. You understand? That's amazing. That's amazing to me. That's a lot to praise God for. We were averaging 60 when I got here, with 25 to 30 coming on the buses. Now we're averaging 90 to 100 with 25 to 30 coming on the buses. The Lord has given us increase. We've averaged 20 people out soul winning. 4 on Tuesdays, 16 on Saturdays has been the average. And now we've had a high day of 29 people out soul winning this year. We've had 82 people saved thus far this year, and we've had 15 baptisms this year as of last week. That's wonderful. The Lord did that. God sure has been good to us here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. That's why the billboard says we are so thankful. For what? For what God's done. For what the Lord's done. Someone says, well, what else do you want to do, preacher? Well, the end room in our trailer over here needs to be redone to repair the water damage. That's probably going to be another $2,000. The stairs and the drainage ditch that come from the upper parking lot to the lower parking lot, I want to redo that and make that just needs to be replaced. Platforms built on the trailer so we can use them more conveniently, and that's out here at the semi. Platforms with stairs, I think we would use our storage space a lot more if we could get to it. And we have a way of fastening it to the trailer so that last time they put trailers out there, they said somebody stole them. So I'm going to anchor them to the trailer. Amen. And then I'm going to put landmines and a machine gun. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The deck and the walkway out here that goes into the trailer and those two We want to join those and make a walkway down here to this one and put another entrance in the trailer. We're going to add a men's prayer meeting to the calendar every fifth week of the month. And we have those. And it's going to be a men's prayer breakfast on Saturday. We have a men's activity in July. It's a shooters expo where we go up to PA. And for 2 days, you just shoot everything that moves, and it's awesome. It's a guy's activity with preaching, and there's men up there. And it's called the Shooters Expo, and we're going to go to that in July. We're having a Valentine banquet this year in February. We're going to have a piano school this year in June for our pianists, and we're having a special piano teacher come here. I want to add the reading of a missionary letter to the Wednesday night service. I want to add a prayer time when we pray together in the Wednesday night prayer service. We're finishing our budget. We're getting ready to be able to present it. I'm meeting with the trustees and the treasurer on Tuesday night. And we're getting very close to finishing the budget. As soon as we finish the budget, we're going to update and strengthen our church constitution. God's done a lot last year. This year, and I'm looking forward to, until Jesus tarries, what God wants to do this year in our church. Grateful people are humble people. Ungrateful people have a proud heart. Grateful people are conscious of God. Ungrateful people are normally self-centered and self-conscious. Grateful people are a full people. Ungrateful people are empty people. Grateful people are easily contented, made happy. Ungrateful people are subject to bitterness and discontentment. I've learned something. You can't make a critic happy. You do what God wants you to do. But there'll always be people who can't praise God. They've just conditioned themselves to being so negative and critical. That's what they do. They're never satisfied. Did you know grateful hearts are revealed by thankful words? Ungrateful hearts are revealed by complaining and murmuring. And finally, grateful people are refreshing. They're refreshing, life-giving springs. Ungrateful people are stagnant pools of demanding, miserable ways. This morning, thankfulness is because you're supposed to. Praise is if you thank Him enough, you'll praise Him, and the thanks with emotion. And you're supposed to eventually glorify the Lord. I want God to look good. I hope this Thursday, I hope you enjoy the time with your family. I hope you have a personal time where you thank God, though, for your salvation, for your Bible, for your church, for your pastor, for your family, for your life, for your home, for your job. It's not just Turkey Day. It's not just Turkey Day. It's supposed to be more than that if you're saved. Let's pray. Father, please, we love You this morning. I ask.